Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd of December, 2019, Tuesday class, and we are starting our puja now. So let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sakya Muni Pho. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can miss that. And turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Amesu Michachara Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Surame Raya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Dupena Hang Sugang Hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gonopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati binasa bhava Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muttamang Now we will chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the nanaparami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Jam. Buddhang pujayami, Dhammang pujayami, Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of formal meditation, silent awareness-based meditation. fill off the light. Then I will set the half an hour alarm. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. For those who still need to train your mind, you can use the mind supreme method, combine metta, or straight away you go into anapanasati, or whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with, use it to anchor your mind, so that it will allow you to train your mind to develop sati. Sati is very important. Without sati, there is no meditation. Sati is just awareness without thought. And the fastest way to meditate is to develop the spiritual faculty. Then the hindrance will not be there. Then you can meditate straight away. You will enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness straight away, because of your spiritual faculties. But if your spiritual faculties are still not there, then you need to train this mind to be in the state of sati first. So when sati stabilizes, then you can meditate. Before it stabilizes, you cannot meditate. So the easiest way is to just let the mind do whatever it wants to do. If you have not developed the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. Then it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be peaceful. Your mind will start to create thinking, activity, thought process. Then it will wander off very fast. So what you can do is just acknowledge it. The untrained mind is heedless. It will think. It will have the hindrance. So you just let it be. Do not try to stop it, suppress it, control or force. Don't do anything. Just relax. Maintain awareness. Just observe with the silent mind. Be with whatever that arises. Aware. Finish. Keep on aware, move on, aware, move on. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Maintain awareness. The four supports are very important. Relax, aware. Until the mind settle down, the thinking process all, they will slow down. Then finally it will become quiet, peaceful, still. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind, the meditative mind. So when that one arises, stabilize it so that it becomes very stable. So from sati it will become samadhi and pasati until the mind enters sati. While you go through this training, you will experience piti when there is no more thinking, when you are just aware. Your mind becomes very calm, very blissful, or very joyful. They call it the spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. Then sometimes for the first time, if you experience it, they will describe it as a spiritual rapture, like the mind rapture into joy. Then as you continue to relax and maintain awareness, it becomes more refined. Then this piti transform and become sukhang. Sukhang is a very blissful state of mind. Very, very blissful. You just relax into it, do not attach. Maintain awareness, sati. And let the anapanasati continue. Then all of a sudden, all this movement will become very clear. Initially, it's long breath. Then later on, it becomes more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, until it becomes very, very still, very peaceful. Yeah. The tranquility of mind or the stillness of mind, when they arise, that is pasati. So initially, it's like you got no more breathing, very subtle. The breathing is like hardly audible. Yeah. But don't worry, when you reach that stage, means you have progress, it's very good. Then you just silence everything, don't try to do anything. Stay with the breath. Even though subtle, stay with it. Just aware, aware, aware. If your mind doesn't run, can stay at the point where the awareness is. Even though the breathing no longer move, so the sati that follow no longer move, but the awareness is there. If you are patient, you are able to relax and maintain awareness, then your mind will enter sati. Then when mind enters sati, your sati become more refined, more sensitive. Then you realize the subtle breathing also, there are movement, very fine, very subtle. Yeah. Then, like that refined awareness or sati can be with it. You can stay there. At that time, piti is always there. Most of the time there, you are just calm, aware, without thought. That is the meditative mind. By then, your mind is different, very sensitive. The mind that enters sati, everything that you come to perceive will be in sati. Whether it's smell, taste, tactile, hearing, or later on seeing, then your activity, your movement within your kaya, bodily movement, any slightest movement, like magnify. And during that time, your mindfulness is more or less continuous. You have no pain. Because you know how to relax and maintain awareness, then you can see it very well. Then meditation is very simple. Then later on, when everything becomes very quiet, you can allow the awareness to drop to your heart area, your mind base. Then stay there. Don't do anything. The understanding will arise by itself. So use that silent mind, the mind that has entered sati, to develop understanding. To silently observe what is going on within your form and mind, so that you can understand who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being. Then all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, you will witness them within your own form and mind. The five aggregate of form and mind will be very clear to you. Then you will understand the deep meaning of Namarupang. Then as you meditate, you develop more and more understanding. Then you will later insight into phenomena, awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, empty nature or non-self nature of existence and all phenomena. So all this you will understand. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. When the half an hour is up, the alarm will be triggered. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you develop for as long as you can. Okay. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sandhitiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko. Pachatam veditabho vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Swamichi patipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasangho. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang tokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's be respect Tripuja. Bhattam Pajami. Dhammam Pajami. Sanghang Pujim. Okay, you all can be seated. We will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 629. Yeah? We have finished metta. So now we will go on to the next four sublime states, or the Brahma Vihara. Karuna. Karuna is compassion. The second virtue that sublimes man is compassion or karuna. It is defined as that which makes the hearts of the good quail when others are subject to suffering, or that which dissipates the suffering of others. Its chief characteristic is the wish to remove the woes of others. So, like the English word compassion, you are very compassionate, means you are very kind, very loving. You have compassion. You have no cruelty. You develop compassion to help the sick, to help the less fortunate, especially those who are going through suffering, misery, and all those things. That's why there are a lot of Buddhist organizations cultivating compassion. Suci is one of them. What they do is compassion in action. So compassion in action is a very important practice. Like the Buddha said, suffering is to be understood under the second turning of the first noble truth. If you do not develop the ability to understand suffering, it's not easy to understand the second turning of the first noble truth. To wait till you personally experience suffering may sometimes take a while. Especially certain type of suffering when you are young, you don't experience them. Especially aging, or they call it old age. Sickness. Sickness may be a minor one you experience, but as you grow old, you experience more and more of this more severe one and more traumatic one. Then death. Death also, when you are young, you seldom think of it. But as you age, the fear of death is there. Then when death occurs, people can be afflicted. Suffering can be quite traumatic. Especially when you lose your loved ones, or you lose your breadwinner, the person who's supposed to earn a livelihood to support the full family. So the breadwinner, if he pass away prematurely, there is a lot of suffering too. So the world must have more and more of this organization that help to relieve suffering. So compassion is mainly to help relieve suffering, to have love, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be loving. So this is what karuna is all about. The heart of a compassionate person are even softer than flower. So this is the example that the author gave. They do not and cannot rest satisfied until they relieve the suffering of others. At times, they even go to the extent of sacrificing their life so as to elevate the suffering of others. The story of Vagri Jataka, where the Bodhisattva sacrificed his life to save a starving tigress and her cub, may be cited as an example. That one unless you are at that level of cultivation, you don't try to be a hero. Not everybody can do it. So this one, you must understand. The Bodhisattva is different because he has reached that level of cultivation. That's why he can just sacrifice like that. A lot of cultivators are very gullible. Wow, the Buddha did it. Oh, so compassionate. Oh, I also want to do. You go and try. Sometimes, when you don't have the wisdom, you become too gullible. There's a Hokkien dialect. Chegu Mpat Ho. The green cow doesn't know what the tiger is. Young calf. That's why we call it green. Young means raw, green. Not experience, Chegu. It is compassion that compels one to serve others with altruistic motive. Means you really have that altruistic mind. Very compassionate, truly compassionate. A truly compassionate person lives not for himself but for others. He seeks opportunity to serve others, expecting no return or nothing in return. Not even gratitude. Who need compassion? This one is very important. By the way, I think it's my brother-in-law from Melbourne. He is here for about 10 days. So he just came back after dinner, I think, with the sister. His name is Victor. He is a Christian. Don't worry. But he's a good Christian. So here, the discussion is, who need compassion? Do you need compassion? Huh? Do you need compassion? You need, isn't it? Because you must have a compassionate heart so that you are not cruel. If you don't have compassion, you will be very cruel. Oh, Chiao. Yeah, my brother-in-law, Victor. Victor Tay. So the question here is very good. Who need compassion? Many amidst us deserve our compassion. The poor and the needy, the sick and the helpless, the lonely and the destitute, the ignorant and the vicious, the impure and the undisciplined are some that demands the compassion of kind-hearted, noble-minded people. To whatever religion or to whatever race they belong. So apart from people needing or deserving our compassion, compassion also helps us. When we are compassionate, we are not cruel. We will not break precept. We will not simply do things. Then that virtue can be a blessing to us. Because when you are compassionate, you are very kind. You are very loving. In the sense that you have that compassion to relieve suffering, to help people, to help humanity, to help mankind, even the environment. That's why compassion, when it manifests, is a very important virtue. This virtue helps create good karmic inheritance. Then it also helps relieve suffering. So the law of karma is you reap what you sow. So when you do this in time of maybe crisis or they call calamity, maybe future birth or what, when you are the victim, people will help you. People with compassion will come and help you and relieve your suffering. Yeah, you reap what you sow. This is what you do to help people. Then in return, you receive all this. Then next page. Some countries are materially rich, but spiritually poor, while some others are spiritually rich, but materialistic poor. Both these pathetic conditions have to be taken into consideration by the materially rich and the spiritually rich. It is the paramount duty of the wealthy to come to the Sakol. Is it Sakol? Of the poor who unfortunately lack most of the necessaries or necessity of life. Surely those who have in abundance can give to the poor and the needy their surplus without inconveniencing themselves. Once a young student removed the door curtain in his house and gave it to a poor person, telling his good mother that the door does not feel the cold, but the poor certainly do. Such a kind-hearted attitude in young men and women is highly commendable. It is gratifying to note that some wealthy countries have formed themselves into various philanthropic bodies to help underdeveloped countries, especially in Asia, in every possible way. Charitable organizations have also been established in all countries by men and women and students to give every possible assistance to the poor and the needy. Religious bodies also perform their respective duties in their connection, in this connection, in their own humble way. Homes for the aged, orphanage, and other similar charitable institutions are needed in underdeveloped countries. The beggar problem has still to be resolved in some countries where begging has become a profession. Out of compassion for the unfortunate beggars, this problem has to be resolved satisfactorily by their respective government, as the existence of beggars is an insult to any self-respecting nation. So in our country also you see quite a lot, but now they have become professional beggars. They are trained to deceive people. Sometimes because of your good-hearted nature, they prey on your kindness, generosity, and so-called compassion. Don't be a good-hearted fool. Chief Reverend last time, the late Chief Dr. K. Sri Damanan, he always say, don't be a good-hearted fool. You are kind, good-hearted, compassionate, but you are foolish because people deceive you, you doesn't know. As the materially rich should have compassion on the materially poor and try to elevate them, it is the duty of the spiritually rich too to have compassion on the spiritually poor and sublime them through the, although they may be materialistic rich. Wealth alone cannot give genuine happiness. Peace of mind can be gained not by material treasure, but by spiritual threshold. Many in this world are badly in need of substantial spiritual food, which is not easily obtained, as the spiritually poor far exceed the materially poor numerically, as they are found both among the rich and the poor. Even more than poverty, sickness prevails throughout the world. Many are physically sick, some are mentally sick. Science provides effective medicine for the former, but not the latter, who very often languish in mental hospital. there are causes for these two kinds of disease. Compassionate men and women must try to remove the causes if they wish to produce an effective cure. Effective measure has been employed by various nations to prevent and cure disease, not only of mankind, but also of animals. Next page. The Buddha set a noble example by attending on the sick himself and exhorting his disciple with the memorable words, "He who minister unto the sick, minister unto me." This one is a famous saying, "He who serve the sick, serve me." Do you know the deep meaning? He who serve the sick, serve me. Do you understand this statement? Maybe I write down on the whiteboard. Never mind. It's okay. Jennifer, it's okay. Never mind. It's okay. He who serve the sick serve me. This one very few people understand. If you use logic, you sure don't agree with the statement, is there? When I serve the sick, how can I serve the Buddha? It's different, is there? True or not? But the deep meaning is very different. I give you an example that you understand. Let's say you volunteer to serve your country. Means what? You serve the maybe highest authority in the country there. Could be your king, or your prime minister or whatever, or the country itself. So when you volunteer to serve them on behalf of the nation, you go and relieve suffering, you may be serving the sick. But indirectly, you provide service to the nation. Then from there, you serve others, isn't it? So in a similar way, the Buddha say, if you follow his teaching, develop compassion, and you believe in him, have faith in him. That's why you serve him, Anasana. Through serving him, you serve others. It's like he is the government. He owns the country. You serve your country. Then, through that, you serve others. So this statement is very deep. He who serves the sick, serve me. Yet the Buddha himself is the embodiment of love and compassion. He is very compassionate. He is very loving. He really wants to serve the sick. He came to the world to relieve suffering, to give you the Dhamma, the teaching that will enable you to awaken, become enlightened, so that you can be free of all suffering, so that you need not suffer. So because his purpose is this, so if you can relieve suffering, serve the sick, you serve him. So this meaning, because of that deep meaning, very few people understand. So I have to use an analogy or an example to help you. Okay, we continue. Then I push the whiteboard back to the same place. Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, leave it there. Some selfless doctors render free service towards the elevation of suffering. Some expend their whole time and energy in administering to the sick, to the poor, even at the risk of their life. Hospital and free dispensary have become a blessing to humanity, but more are needed so that the poor may benefit by them. In underdeveloped countries, the poor suffer through lack of medical facility. The sick have to be carried for miles with great inconvenience to the nearest hospital or dispensary for medical treatment. Sometimes they die on the way. Pregnant mothers suffer most. Hospital, dispensary, maternity home, etc. are essential needs in backward villages. The lowly and the destitute deserve the compassion of wealthy men and women. Sometimes servant and worker are not well paid, well fed, well clothed, and more often than not, they are ill-treated. Justice is not meted out to them. They are neglected and are powerless as there is nobody to plead for them. Glaring cases of inhuman cruelty receive publicity in some exceptional case. Many such cases are not known. These unfortunate ones have no other alternative but to suffer mockery, even as Mother Earth suffer everything in silence. When their grief is unbearable, they commit suicide in utter desperation. The vicious, the wicked, and the ignorant deserve compassion even more than those who suffer physically, as they are mentally and spiritually sick. They should not be condemned and despised, but sympathized with for their failing and defect. Though a mother has equal compassion towards all their children, still she may have more compassion towards a sick child. Even so, greater compassion should be exercised towards the spiritually sick, as this sickness ruins their character. The Buddha, for instance, have great compassion towards the courtesan Amabhapali and towards Angulimala, the murderer. Both of them later become his converts and underwent a complete reformation in character. We must understand the greatness. That greatness is latent in all, however wicked they may be. Perhaps one appropriate word for the right moment may change the whole outlook of a person. The Emperor Asoka perpetrated many crimes, so much so that he was stigmatized Asoka the Wicked. Later, the words from a young novice, "Diligence is the path to the deathless," actually it should be heedfulness, produced such a great change in him that he became Asoka the Great, or the righteous Dhammasoka. The Buddha's advice is to shun the company of foolish. That does not mean that the good should not associate with them as to reform them. People avoid those who suffer from contagious disease, but compassionate physicians attend on them so as to heal them, otherwise they might die. In the same way, the wicked may die spiritually if the good are not tolerant and compassionate towards them. As a rule, the Buddha went in search of the poor, the ignorant, and the vicious, but the good and the virtuous came in search of the Buddha. Like metta or loving kindness, karuna or compassion should also be extended without limits towards all suffering and helpless beings, including dumb animals and fertile eggs. To deny the rights and privilege of mankind on account of caste, color, or race is inhuman and cruel. To feast on the flesh of animal by killing or causing harm, causing them to be killed, is not human compassion. To rain bombs from above and ruthlessly destroy millions of men and women and children is the worst form of cruelty that deluded man has ever perpetrated. Today, this pitiless, vengeful world has sacrificed the most precious thing on earth, life, at the altar of brutal force. Whither has compassion fled? The world needs today compassionate people and women to banish violence and cruelty from the face of the earth. Buddhist compassion, it should be noted, does not consist in merely shedding of tears and the like, for the indirect enemy of compassion is compassionate grief, Dominasa. Compassion embraces all sorrow-stricken beings, while loving-kindness embraces all living beings, happy and sorrowful. So we completed the topic on compassion too. Maybe we allow some time to discuss this. Okay, so this topic on compassion, what is your take? Okay, tell me, very good. Tell me, already have a prepared on. Let me have my glasses. Yeah, go ahead.
Good evening, relative, and all the calamitas. Because just now you was talking about compassion and then about the beggars.
Yes.
I just want to share. I just want to share that 2 years ago, I helped the company to organize, two times or three times, to the soup kitchen.
Okay.
And then it was an eye-opener because we will need to gather at about 10:30. Before that, if for those newcomers, 8:30 to 10 or 9 to 10:30, they will have a briefing because the beggars, some you don't know whether they are defensive or what. So you need to train, have them ready to face them. And then they will already prepare all the food. So there were a few groups out. There were a few groups they will prepare so that those beggars that already well trained, they will come to a place, then they will line up and then they will pass the food to them. These beggars, they already checked and then they already registered under the kitchen.
I mean, they have experienced the compassionate offering before.
And then there are some also that they don't go to line up. We will go to them and then they are very shy.
Correct.
So we will go to them.
Then and some also sick because they can't. Then some they don't know. In fact, Suchi has a lot of this type of sad story. Like last Sunday we went through, remember? They went and helped all those very sickly and very poor people. There was one person, he was like so sick, so weak, he can't even move. Then when they knocked on the door and opened the door, actually there was a rat beating him on the toe. But he can't do anything. He don't even have the strength to shoo away the rat. So it was pitiful. That's why from there, that's how Ciji's compassion grew. Then later they come to know he got a wife who looked after him, and the wife had 4 more children. They were so poor. That's why that was the first family they decided to use Ciji fund to support them and turn the family's life around. That's how compassion can grow. When you see suffering, when you see how people suffer, then you count your good karma, your good blessing. But because you have the condition to meet up with them. And compassion is something, is from your heart. When you have that, you have that. when I was young, I was the same. I can't bear all these things. When I see a cat suffering or what, in the cold or what, I will go and bring it to the house, feed it, then warm it up. The dog was the same. Then sometimes I saw this ants. How many of you do this? Fall into the muck. I will quickly go and get hold of something to bring the ant out, then on a tissue paper and make sure it survives. Then sometimes the flies and all those things also, their wing got wet and all. I'll try to save them. Then sometimes your cup of water, the ants thirsty, they go in and drink. Do you realize? Then sometimes some of them drown. But every time I see this, I will get a tissue paper. I'll try to soak and bring them out. Those that can be saved, I will save them. Then I put it on the rubbish bin or the the place where we dispose of our rubbish. Then when I see them still alive, there is joy. Understand? Then when I was in Anandagiri, that one was a very good one, very classical one. Because I have metta, then my vibration was different there. Then there is this katina offering, and not katina, sorry, dana offering. The table full of food. Then you know, early morning there were flies. There was one fly, I think, very big one, attracted by the nice flavor, the curry, everything. Then this fly get into hot soup, where the wing suddenly touches the curry kua and all those things. Then got stuck there. Then I saw, then I knew. I straight away get the tissue paper and try to help that fly, really bring it out. And you know what they did? What this fly did? Straight away, after he can fly, after he is free, he can sense my vibration. He flew to me, on my hand. And doesn't want to go anywhere. Until I clean it up, then I put it on the tissue, I say go. Then it wait till it dry, then only it fly away. I know it's alive. So a lot of this instant, if you have the compassion from your past, you will know. Then I told you all the story. My mother asked me to help hold the chicken. She wanted to slaughter the chicken. The moment I saw the knife come, I let go of the chicken. I kena scolding by my mother. Like anything, it's a useless fellow. One chicken also cannot hold. So compassion can actually arise and function in various ways. If you are observant, you are mindful, and if you understand, you can feel them. It's really deep inside. Yeah, continue.
Then this, what hits me is another group one is where we need to go to approach them. Then there are a lot of people really living in a very very, how to say, not so good stage.
They are less fortunate. They actually need help.
I got a few stories that really hit me. One is that time when we reached there, we couldn't see anyone. Then they all, I think those foreign workers, stay in a very dark place, no
correct,
lights on.
Yes.
Suddenly they come out, I think about seven of them. Then they were Anjali, and then
You can see the joy in them.
They were happy.
Very happy.
And then a lot of them actually mentally got a bit
problem. So
got some is like mother taking baby living in the street.
Yes.
And then some they really stay in a rubbish dump. They don't stay anywhere.
They don't have proper place because that is where they look for food, scavenge for food, scavenger. They go and look for food there. With all the flies, the filthy condition. Because I work in construction site, I'm a civil engineer. So last time I used to work in construction site. And I can tell you, construction site is not a nice site. Because the temporary shed, or they call it the Gongxi house. In the early days, when I started 70s and 80s, no proper standards for Gongxi house. Nowadays, the contract, later on, after 90s, it's compulsory for you to have proper accommodation for worker and all those things. So they put in the minimum standard that you must build for their welfare and their whatever basic need. So the client who actually called the tender, they agree to let you tender for it, and they will pay for the construction of their accommodation and all those things. So after that, it improved. Otherwise, I tell you, they don't care one. They tell the worker, this is the construction site, this is where you work, where you stay, and do all the things. Then they have to put up their temporary shed and all those things. And most of the time, they look for source of water. If you don't have source of water, they will dig a well. Otherwise, near a stream, if there is a stream nearby. Last time, the condition was very bad. And I saw them. Actually, not easy. Then they don't have proper stove like you know. So what they do is they just go and buy this kerosene thing. Kerosene on a burner. They just cook like that. Some, of course, they go and get gas later on when it's available and all that thing. Okay, continue. Very good.
And then a lot of us, we thought that we have a house, we have a car, it's done already, huh? But actually, it's not enough. There was an old man, he's a single, he tell a story saying that I didn't see that man, is the volunteer that
told you the story.
Yeah, this man got a flat already, got a car, although he thought that he's got a car and he just enjoy his life. Until when he was old, then really the saving not enough. Every day you need to go to the Kachara supermarket. They will give free lunch.
Correct. Kachara is a Tibetan one.
So they will go there and take free lunch, then every day he only can take bread only, cannot own much things.
Correct.
Living really very bad.
That's why you don't know how to actually plan your retirement. It's not easy, I tell you. A lot of people, after they retire, within less than 3 years, they use up their EPF money and all those things. After that, they have problem. Most of them are dependent on their children. And most of the sad story is that the children, you can have 6 or 7 or 10 children, but they can't even take care of one parent. But one couple can take care of 10 children. The other way around is like very difficult for them. But it's all because of karmic. When you neglect your parent in future, when you come, you will have children that will neglect you. But you take care of them, they will take care of you. Then if you have good karma, good blessing, if you have cultivated a lot of goodness, wholesomeness, compassion, generosity, the more you give, the more you receive. So like, for money to come to you, you must have good merits. Means you must have generosity, parami. You must have all the kindness, goodness, help people before. And do a lot of things that help people generate income or livelihood. So if you have a lot of this good parami, then when you come, you will inherit them. Where you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. Your generosity, parami, will bring about good condition for you to receive salary, good salary. Sometimes your job, your business, or your investment, they just come naturally and you receive them. It's not by accident. Don't think that everybody got good luck. No. It's your karma, your parami. If you don't have the good virtue, the parami, if you don't cultivate them before past life or whatever, this life when you come, you cannot reap them. There's a lot of people who rob people, cheat people, deceive people, swindle people through the shortcut, push drug, sell those illegal livelihood thing. When they come, they have to pay back. They become the victim. They end up patronizing all these vices, drugs, and all those things. Yeah. Then you get back into trouble. But this is what you do people, to people. Then they get cheated by bogus, what they call scam and all those things. Sometimes even the quack doctor. Well, last time when you are a doctor, you also cheat people, deceive people. So this is like you come, you also somehow end up get scammed and conned by all these people. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, people will do back to you. So if you don't have love, compassion to serve mankind, humanity, you will not receive this proper treatment. That's why the law of karma is a nature's law. They call it the nature's law of mental intention, karmic volition. Volition is mental intention. The Buddha says it's mental intention or cetana that I call karma. So when you arise an action, or you speak, or you do certain action, there is mental intention behind. If your mental intention is negative, means you have selfishness, you have craving, desire, lust, then you act out of delusion. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusions are there. And this will make you evil. And this will give rise to evil karmic consequence. That's why you will reap the effect of it later. That's why the teaching is very simple. To have the good life, avoid all evil. How to avoid all evil? Avoid the negative tendency. Means the mental intention that has selfishness, which is greediness, lustfulness, possessiveness, craving, desire. Avoid this. Yeah, this is the root of all evil. Then avoid being authoritative. Avoid being like cruel, emotional, envy, jealousy, hatred, then violent. All this is the evil root of hatred, anger, negative emotion. Then the last one is delusion. Delusion means you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Yeah. The Buddha said there are five nature's order that governs all of life and existence. The first two are scientific law. The Buddha called it Utu Niyama, physical law of nature. All the physical law, they follow this law. Physics, chemistry, all. Yeah. Then the second one is biological order of nature. That's why biology, genetic engineering. Yeah. Then all the, what they call botany or whatever, related to plants, living beings, organism. These are biological in nature. So biological order is another set of nature's law that governs the aspect of nature's law. So if you want to crossbreed, that nature's law must be allowable, then only can. Like you want to crossbreed a German cow or goat, then you must get another type of goat or cow in Malaysia. If you try to crossbreed a dog and a cat, cannot, because the nature's law don't allow. So it has to be compatible, agreeable to the nature's law. So these two laws, the scientists, they understand, that's why they progress very fast. Oh. Then they also go into the psychological aspect, the mental. But the mental one is actually involving the spiritual law. That one, the scientists only know the surface, very superficial, the thought process, the consciousness, they are still far behind. The other three set of nature's law are called the spiritual law. The first one is, the Buddha said, the law of karma, moral causation. Physical law got Newton's law of cause and effect. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But when it comes to law of karma, it's the moral causation. It's not a physical law. It's the mental intention involved. That's why it becomes a moral causation. We call it karma. Yeah. So this aspect is very powerful. If you understand this law, you will know how to live life. That's why from this law of karma, the Buddha came out with his advice. If you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. So to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. And to avoid all evil, you must keep your precepts. To other religion, they call it by different name. Like the Christian, they call it by commandments, the Ten Commandments. Yeah. So when you keep your commandment or keep your precept, you avoid major evil. That's how your life becomes good. You are avoiding all evil. Then when you really know how to keep your precepts and commandments and develop the ennobler of it, instead of killing, harming, you develop compassion and love to help others and relieve suffering. That is the ennobler. Instead of cheating people, deceiving people, you become generous. That is the ennobler. Understand? Instead of committing all the evil act, you become kind, compassionate, loving. That is the ennobler. So a lot of things, when you understand, when you do them in accordance with the nature's law, you will reap the appropriate friction. But the Buddha actually go beyond, because he know this law very well. He said, we are all living beings, including non-human, not only human beings. We are all born of our karma. He said, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. But this nature's law of karma involves mental intention. So everything we do as human beings, living beings, our action, our speech, our thought process, all involve mental intention. That's why karma is involved. And karma is such, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. That's why in certain religion they say, God is almighty, God knows. So the law of karma is like God. It knows everything. You cannot cheat. No need to keep account book one. Very accurate. Huh? You cannot hide behind. You think nobody see, nobody know, you can cheat. No. The nature's law is already recorded. When there is condition, it will manifest. Yeah. That's why when people understand, then the teaching becomes different. Yeah. Like you believe in nature's law, means nature is nature itself. You can say nature is God with its sets of nature's law. So if that is the case, then a lot of the things that the Bible mentioned is correct. Man is born in the image of God. True or not? If God is nature, means man come from nature. We are part of nature, which is correct. God is almighty. Correct, because nature's law governs everything, control everything. That's why when 9/11 happened in New York, I remember Larry King, huh? The one in the CNN, huh? You remember? He actually organized a very important, we call it a discussion, on the topic of 9/11. No? So he get hold of the Christian, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and the Muslim, I think. Yeah. So four of the authority were there together with him. He is a Christian. Before he start, he asked the panel speaker, is it, are your faith shaken? Everybody say no. But he himself admitted, my faith is shaken. And he explained, no. He said, I was told my God is almighty, all compassionate and everything. So this 911 means God knows it's going to happen. Why is he not doing anything? Allow all this ultrasound and all those things to happen. Yeah. Then after that, he said, after telling you that my faith is shaken, now I want to ask you all, why your faith are not shaken? So the first one that started, you know who? The Muslim. He asked him point blank, are these people who are responsible for this going according to the so-called holy book rewarded? Or are they sinner? Will they go to eternal hell or all those things? The way they answer very funny. You go and listen, you will know. Then after that, they go on to the Christian authority. The Christian say, 100% eternal hell. Whereas the other one say, depend. If it's certain reason, then no, not necessary. Then the third one is the best, the Hindu. He say, it seems to me there are so many gods, he say. In this case, he say, the Muslim God won, the Christian God lost. So this guy, he started off this way. Everybody was laughing. Then people start to understand why religion has become such. Because the truth is only one aspect. Understand? Then this Hindu or the Indian one, he said in India there are thousands of gods. So when he talk about God, the definition is very, very important. So to different people, God has different meaning. Even the Buddhists got their deities and their gods. Understand? But these are considered certain rhyme of existence with their meditation advancement or their parami, their whatever virtue and wholesomeness, then they get born in those heavenly rhyme. The Buddhists also have. But these are not ultimate rhyme where you can really free your mind and become enlightened, where you can go beyond birth and death, transcend birth and death. Whenever you come, when you have this understanding of this teaching, that's why the Buddha's advice is not only avoid all evil, you have to do good, develop wholesomeness, kindness, goodness, compassion, love. Then finally he said, you must purify your mind to your wisdom. Otherwise, with good merit alone, you may have the good life initially. But when you go through life, there are many realities without wisdom you cannot confront. You will suffer. He said the eight realities, birth, old age, sickness and death. When you confront them without wisdom, you will have fear. You will become afflicted, miserable. Especially growing old, getting sick and finally die. Because you don't understand what is death. You don't know who died. Who are you? What are you? After death, what will happen to you? But you have a belief system, then that one give you faith. Understand? Because like the Christian, they say, they will go to the kingdom of God. That one give them faith. But the reality could be something else. Unless you know how to die. You know who you are, what you are. Well, when you meditate, you will know what that consciousness is. What that mind is. What the eternal nature behind is. The eternal life. The eternal nature. Which is the unconditioned. So all this, if you develop the meditation, you will understand. That's why under the three spiritual law that governs life existence, the Buddha say, law of karma is only one aspect. The other two are the powerful one. The second spiritual law is the law of mind. Citta niyama. Citta is mind. Citta niyama is very powerful, the Buddha said. When you understand how you function as a human being, how your mind operates, and how it develops the understanding to become enlightened and go beyond the mind. When you go beyond the mind, you transcend mind. When you transcend mind, you transcend life. We call it the enlightenment, the unconditioned. We realize the unconditioned, the eternal light, the eternal nature, the undying, the deathless element. And this one, no need to wait till the physical death of this physical body and mind. You can realize them before this physical body and mind cease. Or we call the consciousness separate from the physical body, and we call it death. When your heart beat no more, means the life force, the karmic force that pump your heart and trigger off the life force and animate you into a human being. When that one ends, the heart will fail to beat. Sometimes that life force still come, but you got a heart attack. Your organ cannot sustain that life force. Again, the consciousness has to come out and you have to die. And sometimes the spinal cord, the major organ, the brain dead, all those things, it can also cause you to die. But what is death? Separation of consciousness from this physical body is not death. That one is the form and mind, the physical body and the mind. That's why in the Buddhist teaching about the mind, these things are taught and they are very deep in his understanding. That's why you have to meditate. You have to go beyond the thinking process, the thought. You have to go into the deep awareness nature. The awareness nature is that nature within, the eternal nature. But that one cannot come out and live life. We can call that the Buddha nature, the true nature, the self nature, or the oneness nature. But this one cannot come out and live life. It is the unconditioned. It's not a human being. It don't have a consciousness. It don't have a mind. But it has a nature of its own. The eternal nature. The awareness. And that is the one that can develop wisdom, understanding, and free the mind from being deluded by what is happening in the world. That's why that spiritual law is very powerful. When you understand that spiritual law, you free the mind. You liberate and you become different. Then life become meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. Because with that understanding, enlightenment, you no need to suffer. You will no longer have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. No matter what happened to you and the world. But you will know this form of mind is not real, not you. Dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Not the eternal nature. The eternal nature never died. Because it was never born. That's why when you are with that eternal nature, you realize the enlightenment. You realize this phenomenal world of consciousness is not real. You realize the unconditioned. You awaken. So that is the difference between Buddhism and other type of religion, where we don't need to really believe in something that we are not sure. We can, through direct investigation, silence our mind, meditate, and realize that nature is not something that is after death only you have to go and find out whether it's true or not. So that is basically the most important difference between other religion and the Buddhist teaching. The Buddhist teaching don't need a God and Almighty to explain things. To develop understanding of life, way of life, live life, everything about life. Because to the Buddhists, there are two aspects of nature. The materialistic world of existence, our existential world, and the unconditioned when you realize the enlightenment. And these two, you must develop the wisdom of both sides, so that when you come, as a human being or a living being, or can be any type of non-humans, or even born as animal if your karma is such. But that nature's law that governs life and existence, if you have the awakening and the enlightenment, then you can choose to come. You can decide to come. That's why we have the Bodhisattva way to cultivate. And the Bodhisatta are enlightened beings. Bodhi is enlightenment, Satta is being enlightened being. They have the wisdom and the understanding to come. And when they come, they are a blessing to the world. They can help humanity. They themselves can develop the understanding, then they can actually benefit living beings. Just like we share this Dhamma here. So this is the aspect that I want you all to develop the deep understanding so that your faith is there and you will strive on with heedfulness to cultivate this understanding. Then you will realize these five sets of nature's law govern, that governs life and existence. Then you can break free. The last one is the law of truth. Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma is all the nature's law, the other truth that the Buddha taught. So that last one is all the teaching, the essential Dhamma that he taught you. So these are nature's truth. They will stand up to investigation. And when you understand these five great law of nature, you will understand life. You will know how to live life. Then you don't need anything, belief or whatever, to give you faith. The faith comes from understanding itself. When you understand, there is no fear. There is no worry. There is no anxiety. Nothing. Thing is just the way it is. Suchness. Ta-ta-ta. Okay, did you finish your part? Yeah? Sorry, yeah? I took over too much of your time. Yeah, tell me.
This one more last one, yeah. Which I didn't expect, because I thought people living in the streets, they're already so poor, though.
Oh, okay.
Those snatch thief or a burglar, they won't go and attack.
Yeah,
them,
yeah, yeah,
know?
But still attack. Huh?
Yeah, I met one.
You will be very surprised. Foreign worker harassed by policemen. Oh, serious. My office, the Indonesian girl, the maid, told us. Yeah. He said, apalula. Well, the Indonesian maid. Actually, pitiful. What Tammy says is very true. That's why when you don't take care of karma, your life can be really miserable. When you are really so miserable, people somehow step on you and do all these funny things to you. That's why you better take care of karma. And you don't go and assume that all these things is natural. No, if you have not taken care of karma, your life will not be so good. That's why thank your good karma. Thank your good blessing. Yeah. But of course, other religions do it differently. They thank God for everything. Because that God, when they understand, the teaching is the same. That so-called almighty or whatever is actually part of understanding, wisdom. Okay? Yeah.
Yes. Got one, the two of them, one is he already having, his boss took his passport away. You know?
A lot like that. The foreign worker, they control them through their passport. Then they are forced to work and they withhold their pay, their salary. They only give them minimum to survive. That's why there is a lot of abuse and all those things. Yeah.
So he couldn't find his brother that's going to stay in Ipoh. They come together.
Correct,
to
correct.
The brother in Ipoh.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
He
separated.
Couldn't find the
separated.
Brother.
Yeah.
Then they worked very hard until he couldn't tahan. He ran away and then he got some, I think, too stressed or something.
Yeah, mental issue.
Then he still know to keep his things inside the people that have this. After the door, they close the another gate. Keep there, get people to steal things.
Yeah.
And another is quite old man. His job is to distribute newspaper lah.
Yeah.
And his things also was stolen.
Yeah.
These
are the real story. You don't hear them because you are not involved in all these things. But for me, because I got a lot of feedback from people, I heard about all this. Sometimes not only the police, the immigration officer, they come because you don't have the paper, they harass you, they threaten you. And there were many cases you were told, minimum 5,000. 5,000. Otherwise, they are not going to let you go. Then sometimes they go, they saw you got handphone, they take. Then whatever money, there's a tell me say got to hide your money. Otherwise, they know when is your salary coming. Then they raid that place. But they know you don't have passport. Your boss kept the passport. You don't have proper travel document. They live in fear, really. That's why karma is very, very important. You don't take care of karma, you end up like that. We are in Malaysia, no? You're supposed to be very fortunate, no? But do you know there are a lot of foreign workers who are very miserable? There are some without the proper birth certificate. They are Malaysian born, but no IC because the parent didn't do for them and cannot have education and all those things. Very miserable. I was almost one of the victims. Yeah, I was born before Merdeka. So I was given a red IC. Yeah. Then I was born in Alostar, Kedah. But luckily my good karma. Actually very difficult to go and do. So my father didn't really know how to go and change to blue IC. We asked the person to help to do a lot of problem. Then involve money is one thing. Money my father will pay. But he say have to send down to KL, then 1 month, ding dong, and all that, no guarantee, and all that. So my father that time said, wow, like that, never mind. And you know what happened? When I was Form 3, after my LCE, that year, my father supposed to give me big ang bao, no? Because I did quite well with my LCE. Now you all call SRP, PMR. Then you know what happened? Just before New Year, there was this burglar came and took away my father's safe. No, the whole safe was gone. No. And funny thing, 3 days later, one old man walked by the shop, bring some document that he found on the safe which was broken and thrown near the river. And he saw the address. He asked my father, is this yours? My father was shocked. He said, yeah, where you found it? He said, the river there. He said, your whole safe has been busted, he said. So my father was very happy. He won back the document on it. He money he already know already. The old coin, all, he said, never mind. And you know what happened? They took all the money, everything. All the documents were intact except my red IC. I think like $10 note, red color, gone. Because my red IC was stolen, my father got to go and make a police report. And he was forced to go and apply for a new IC. He said, since he got to apply, he might as well apply for the blue IC. I was very lucky. Because of that, he applied for the blue IC. Then do you know what happened? When I was in Form 6, I did very well, my result. I managed to get a place in University of Malaya, civil engineering. I was the only student in the whole school go to civil engineering in MU. I got another classmate, Indian, red IC. His result also quite good. Can do maximum because of red IC rejected. Cannot go into MU. That not thank my karma. My nature is like that. It will happen. Otherwise, how can it happen? That's why you take care of karma. You don't take care of karma, all these things will not happen. You think fairy tale. Store everything. All the documents intact. No? My father know he they accept my red IC gone. No? All there. Well, I'm the only one with the red one. My elder brother, he got citizenship because he came earlier. He was born in China. So born in China, no problem. I was born here. That's why I got problem. No. All my father, my elder brother who were born in China, they are considered migrant. So migrant, automatic. Well, when the British give us independence, all those who came from overseas, all given, automatic. But if you are born here, you need a birth cert, understand or not, to become a citizen. Otherwise how? I don't have a birth cert. At that time, my father luckily he go and apply. He go and apply my surname Teo and his surname different. His one is T-H-E-O-H. Mine is T-E-O-H. Then there are some T-N-E-O-H. So he go and make IC. This is not your parent. Parent Chinese, surname same. Why your surname different? A lot of headache. My father got to go and change the IC into four or five alias to match all our surname. By the time the IC with the alias come back, then only I can apply my blue IC. First, I must apply citizenship first, Article 15, bracket 4, I remember. So my father did everything for me after that. He said, once and for all, finish. That's why you must have good karma. If you don't have good karma, all these things cannot happen. So whatever you do, you must have understanding, wisdom, kindness, goodness, compassion. That's why every religion have this. You must do good. Understand? Love and compassion is the most powerful virtue that most religion will advise you to do. Then most religion also have what they call the precepts or the commandments. That is to keep your lifestyle in proper order so that you don't simply do things. When you follow the precepts, the commandment, you have the ethics of life to avoid evil. You don't harm people, you don't kill people, you don't deceive people, you don't cheat people, you don't partake intoxicant and make your consciousness very low and make all those mistakes. You don't commit adultery or what we call sexual misconduct. Why the Buddhists use sexual misconduct? Adultery is a better word. You cannot simply do things. That's why called misconduct. You didn't conduct yourself properly. What is it? Yeah, tell me.
I heard that you need to, like, not only like other people's wife and other people's husband, the male or the, or I mean the person, yeah, need to be have like approved by the parents, like last time, like,
oh,
my parents.
So they all now say willing buyer, willing seller. Yeah, I take your point. Yeah. They must have consent. Consent. But in the olden day, you don't play a fool. I think during the 60s and 70s, you are seen with the daughter or somebody at a cinema show or tall sawa, the parent will come after you already. Ask you, when are you going to marry my daughter? Take responsibility. But now different. Now, I think the younger generation, they're thinking all different. That's why civilization evolved. So our life also change. So if you hold on to the old mentality, there will be generation gap. And if we don't learn new thing, we will be obsolete, like dinosaur. That's why now with AI, everything. Last time, computer already so fierce. But now, with the multimedia, the handphone, the AI and all those things, I tell you, if you don't keep a breath, you don't catch up, you are going to be miserable. I was told, the latest one, I received the video. In China, the high-speed train, they call 快铁, isn't it? Now they say 飞铁, flying train. The speed that they can develop is 10 times the fastest speed now. So it seems according to that breakthrough, from Shanghai to Beijing, half an hour by that train. Faster than aeroplane. Yeah. No, half an hour. Correct. 10 times the speed. That's why half an hour. Oh, you want to see the video or not? I show you the video.
Fly from Beijing to Shanghai is more than half an hour.
Yeah,
整个网络。国产的超级高铁来了，每小时4000公里，比现在的高铁快了10倍，音速的3倍，飞机飞行速度的4倍。这哪里还是一辆高铁，这简直就是飞铁。这是中国铁路与航空领域有史以来最大的一次突破。按照这个速度搭乘飞铁，我们以后上海到北京仅需20分钟，上海到合肥只要8分钟，北京到天津只需3分钟，就算是北京到武汉横跨了差不多半个中国也只要30分钟。也就是说，从今以后距离远赶时间的出行根本不需要再坐飞机，直接到当地城市高铁站换乘超级高铁飞行列车，比飞机更快到达目的地。身为中国人是多么的幸福。那这么快的速度到底安不安全？我们来看一下超级高铁的核心技术就知道了。一、低真空环境配备，超声速外形全面减少空气阻力，而且超级高铁的空气阻力将降低到传统高铁的3%。二、磁悬浮技术，全速开动的超级高铁将整车悬浮在空中，时速每小时4000公里，整车全部远离地面20英里以上。重点是，此次的超级高铁核心技术全部都是由中国航天科工集团。
So you want this video now? Oh, I sent to Mike Hermita. Huh? So it's not a joke. Don't play a fool with China. China is not like what it used to be 30, 40 years ago. He already know. That's why he tried his crooked way. But very difficult to actually slow down China. Because the people are different. Our civilization is different. The government is good. If the government is good, the country will be good. Because the way they do things is without the selfishness, the corruption and all those things. It's not easy to govern such a big country. True or not?
How do you have compassion for Hong Kong?
Oh, that one very easy. I think that is a very good question, isn't it? Marty already given Carrie Lam the solution, but she doesn't know how to use. Marty told her, if you cannot handle, you resign. Wait. You must listen to the whole answer. If you cannot handle, you resign. Then he asked Marty, how to handle? These people are like that. Mahathir say, you have the rule of law. Why don't you apply? Oh, you say cannot. That's why the rule of law is very important. When people break the rule of law, you just have to act. It's nothing to do with democracy or what. You want to demonstrate can, peaceful and all those things. But when you destroy public property and create such havoc, it's worse than terrorism. Understand? In foreign country, they kill you, they shoot you, and they finish off with you. Not to say as Buddhists we are cruel. No, this is society. This is human behavior. You cannot be like, try to be a good-hearted leader, understand? A fool. Accommodate everything, listen to them. Do you think they talk sense? The way they demand, they tell you they don't have leader, understand? And they don't know who is in charge too. Because the British guy interviewed him, her, one of their leader. Her. And they don't have leader, and they just operate like that. They just want to destroy things so that people listen to them. But they don't have a proper understanding, but the ideology is very, very different. So society has become what it is because the way it was manipulated and developed. Because people have different agenda. Do you think it's the Hong Kong people who wanted this? Anybody look at it will know. It's ideology behind a lot of other support and influence.
And taking out a piece of nice, clean piece of
That one is the condition is there. Understand? Or? When the condition is not there, these are not fly. Understand? Or? These are destructive people because they have been taught and they have been trained and they even have petrol bomb. Understand? Or? And they destroy public property. They destroy the MRT, they destroy the bank. Then even people try to remove what they destroy or put on the road, they whack them, put fire on them. So what is going on? That's why Matthew say, if you don't apply the rule of law and you have the rule of law gazetted in your constitution, you don't know how to govern. You might as well resign, you say. Which is very true. To me, that statement is fair. Yeah. But then Carrie Lim say, I cannot resign. Carrie Lam, sorry. Because if I resign, no effect. It's not, my resignation can change the situation. Matthew is not telling you to resign to change the situation. Resign so that somebody else who can act, go up. But you can't act, and you don't want to resign, means you are letting this thing continue, understand? You use that word what? Proliferate, yes. So you are not solving the problem, you are not confronting the problem. You are trying to be a nice lady and as a nice leader. We will take into consideration the demand of this. We will talk to them, we will give. I understand. It's not kill. No, it's not kill. Chui. Wait. Listen. 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 You get the sharpshooter like you sedate the animal. What you call sedate the animal? Huh? You get the sharpshooter. Who are the leader you know from the room? You shoot. Let them go down. Then all put in the jail. It's not killing, understand? You sedate them, understand? Otherwise, do you think there will be fear? There will be no fear, understand? You must handle them like animals, understand? Yeah, they are like animals. Sometimes worse than animals. The way they go about destroying things, yeah, they are not demonstrators. They call themselves protesters. Or what? Is there a better word? Freedom fighter. No? Ah, rioter is a very kind word already, Chui. Yeah, very kind word already, rioter. Terrorist, that is a more appropriate word. Yeah. Anyway, don't discuss politics. Okay. Radiate love and compassion. Do your part. Yeah. No, for the consciousness of the world to change, there must be more and more people having love and compassion. You need the numbers. Understand? 40% in Hong Kong who are neutral, just like grass in the wind, they just fall down and die. Correct. That's why when they lost the election, they were very surprised that not only the younger generation vote against them, the older people also vote against them. So there are certain reasons for that. Because Hong Kong is such a society where if you are really a citizen there or one, there are certain social issues that need to be resolved, like housing. In fact, Lee Hsien Loong gave a very good explanation on that. Even the wife also. He said you have to resolve all these social issues, the people's, like how to own a house, because it's beyond them. A very small unit in Hong Kong, 300 square feet, they are now talking about 200 square feet, no? A standard unit, no? And how many million, you know? No? So they are fed up with what society is, because they can't own even an apartment. No? Whereas Singapore different, HDB. If you are not too choosy, quite easy. Well, my daughter stay there, I know. And they take care of the housing. They take care of the living standard. You know. That's why a lot of these things, the government has to be sensitive. Hong Kong different. The rich one are very rich. But the down there one, they actually suffer. Then, of course, over the years, maybe the last 20 over years, there has been a lot of brainwashing, a lot of interference, which they still don't know. That's why I don't know what is the Hong Kong government doing. When the university all has become like that, and still they don't know what is going on. When all the students have that type of thinking ready, they still don't know what is going on. So, what type of government is it? This will never happen in mainland China. Mainland China, they got all the data. They know who is behind everything. And very fast, they wrap it up. That's why different. But because it's an autonomy state, one country, two systems, so there is a lot of thing that the mainland China government need to consider. That's why they don't want to act. Why should they act? Otherwise, they get more trouble. Then people will point finger and all that. He let Hong Kong resolve it the way they supposed to resolve. You can't resolve, you kill yourself. So what? Hong Kong is so small compared to China now. Now even Shenzhen is bigger than Hong Kong. And a lot of all these cities opposite Hong Kong, they are thriving like anything. And you choose to protest, demonstrate and create all this, and someone put up all those flags asking foreigners to come. So a lot of people cannot understand. But don't worry, these are human mind. Human mind thinks the human way. Before you have the wisdom, the understanding, you don't talk to them about love and compassion. There is no love, no compassion. There is only hatred and anger. So when you have hatred, anger, delusion and fear, then all the chaos will happen, all the problem will happen. But these are evil root of all you. Make people evil. Then thought divide. Create conflict. 10:30, just nice. So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will share merit, transfer merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Then after that, you pay your respect. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto ce. Fito bawatu loko ce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you pay respect to Triple Gem, then we can end. Thank you.